Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
We're glad you're on board today. Hey, we've got box basketball postseason right around the corner of the NBA Championship Road. It starts this weekend in Milwaukee. Red Bull and Quick Trip, they're partnering up to provide a lucky fan with a VIP playoff experience. Stop by your neighborhood Quick Trip and get a 12-ounce can of Red Bull. Purchase that with your Quick Rewards card, and you are automatically entered to win. You got to do it soon. A couple of great seats, an on-court experience, food vouchers, some cool Bucks gear, and a whole lot more. Red Bull and Quick Trip, proud partners of Bucks basketball. And remember today, today only, the Angus cheeseburger or the spicy chicken sandwich, $2.19. That's it. Your good friends over at Quick Trip, they wanted me to remind you of that. Time now to talk some Badger football as Jake Kokorowski from Bucky's Fifth Quarter now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Jake, how you doing, man?
Doing well outside of trying to figure out how to, you know, maneuver between four seasons within, you know, 48 hours here in this great state of Wisconsin with the snow and the 70s and all that other fun stuff. Otherwise, I'm great.
Well, other than that, yeah, it's no big deal. I got to ask you. So you got Jason Erdman, who comes back and participates in team periods on Tuesday. First time we've really had a chance to see him, right, for a while?
Yeah, it was he's a redshirt senior, former walk-on, and he was an individual drill, so it was kind of interesting where, you know, Paul Chris mentioned it was the first practice that was open to the media. He said that Erdman was limited, so you saw him do some, they call it indie work or positional work, and so he worked there and he suited it up, but then he wouldn't participate in team drills, and on this, you know, this past Tuesday, he suited up and was going through some team periods. So it's the first time that we saw him in that type of role, and he's working at left guard, at center. And both of those are really what we expected out of him as an interior lineman. We've seen him at both, you know, left guard and center previously throughout his Wisconsin career. So having him, you know, healthy and gain some reps, and he's had a bunch of experience, the past couple of years. And when needed and when injuries came up on the line, he's come in and, nothing's really changed with that group. You know, the production was still there. But this is a good spring for him to kind of, in my opinion, is projected to be a starter, and some of these reps will be good for him.
Give me the lowdown on Kendrick Pryor. I know he was out with a hamstring injury, the wide receiver.
Yeah, it was just a precautionary thing on Saturday through that scrimmage part. He returned on Tuesday, went through, from what we saw, team drills, individual positional work, and he looked good, in my opinion. There's a one-on-one, period between the wide receivers and the defensive backs. I forgot which defensive back he blew past, but he sped past him. That hamstring looked fine for there. It was just a precaution on Saturday. And so, it's a big spring for him, too, to get some reps in. But, he looked good on Tuesday, and we'll see what comes when practices are open to the media on Saturday for that open practice to the fan base as well.
Wanted to ask about the quarterback position. Obviously, Ertz is a guy that everybody's paying attention to, but it looks like he's not getting first-team reps, obviously. It's Jack Cohn, because you would assume he's just got the most experience right now, right?
Yeah, we've seen, Cohn just get all the, with the first team, all the reps that he's received has been with the first team, or the presumed first team, because the offense, you see Jonathan Taylor here and there, but not a lot of work, and it's hard in the spring, kind of say who's the presumed first team, because the offensive line with Tyler Biadasz and Cole Van Lannen both out for the spring, and you see Jonathan Taylor gets not as many reps, But, yeah, I would say he's getting, you know, any rep that he's receiving, their first team. And I like what Mertz is doing. You can tell just looking at him, he's got the physical tool set. He can make throws. He made a couple of nice throws to A.J. Abbott on Tuesday that are out patterns, nicely thrown, accurate, has the arm strength. You know, they're pretty nice, you know, passes that he threw. But you're also seeing with Mertz, you know, he's still learning the playbook. They're, you know, it's going from high school to college. No matter who you are, there's going to be a transition period. And the spring ball and him enrolling early is going to really help him digest more of the playbook, catch up on the speed of the game, work on chemistry with the wide receivers. All the quarterbacks have made some mistakes or some interceptions, and that's fine during the spring because this is your chance to work on the chemistry, the timing, working on the playbook. And, you know, you have meetings in between these practices where you can fix things, catch up, and then go to the next install. So I really feel it's good for him. He's still, he's being thrown in the fire. And as a true freshman, I think he's doing okay. We'll see how much he continues to improve. And, you know, they're not going to name a starter until fall camp. So this is his chance to kind of just work on things, and we'll see. But, you know, I would say right now, Jackson, I would say leaves. But then again, like I said, it's still so early on that, you know, we'll see what comes during fall camp. No starter, in my opinion, will be named until fall camp.
Talking with Jay Kokorowski of Bucky's Fifth Quarter, talking some Badger football. Tell me about Adam Krumholtz, because I heard some good things about him, the redshirt wide receiver.
Yeah, Adam, out of Stoughton from nearby Madison, metropolitan area. I've liked him over the past couple of practices. And I know it's spring, and, you know, depending upon how reps translate over to fall camp and the season. But, you know, the one-on-one drill I mentioned earlier, on Tuesday against some of the defensive backs, he beat Caesar Williams, one of the starters that started last year, one of the six cornerbacks that gained the start last year. And he beat him a couple times, and one was a deep pass, another was a shorter pass. He looked good. And even in that scrimmage portion of Saturday's practice, I thought he asserted himself well, with A.J. Taylor not getting a lot of reps during that scrimmage. Kendrick Pryor was out at that time. Danny Davis also, I believe he was injured during the first week. That was closed to the media. And so Krumholtz, I thought, he's taking advantage of those reps. And for a guy jockeying for position behind an A.J. Taylor, Kendrick Pryor, Danny Davis, that could help him out, especially with guys like Aaron Cruikshank, Taj Mustafa, Jack Dunn. So behind the top three, there's a lot of, back and forth to see, who could emerge as the number four receiver. I thought he looked pretty good so far.
I was reading your stuff the other day, and the secondary did not fare real well in those one-on-one drills in which you had Mertz and everybody throwing passes. I guess my question then becomes, there were a few standouts, a guy like Darren Harrell. He ended up picking off Graham Mertz. Now, Graham Mertz obviously just getting indoctrinated into the offense, but Mertz is the guy that's got all the tools and got the strongest arm of the whole bunch. So with some of these guys, some of these defenders that are back there right now, how good can the secondary be in your eyes?
I think this could definitely become a strength of the defense, and that's not just the cornerbacks, but the safeties too. And with those one-on-ones too, I think I mentioned that in the recap that it's almost hard to really – I would say almost evaluated times. It's one-on-one, and so the receivers know the routes, and you saw that happen. But also, some of the, a speedy wide receiver taking on a safety that maybe is not used to that. However, Caesar Williams, Sean Hicks have been getting some first-team reps there. But you're seeing younger guys like Alexander Smith, who is going to be a redshirt freshman. He's worked in with, a presumed first-team look as, the third cornerback. And this is the time for them to, the competition will continue to evolve over spring and fall camp. But you had six players start last year at cornerback for Jim Leonard's unit, and really all of them, there's a depth there that really this competition should make the secondary one of the strengths of the defense. And, I mean, that includes the safeties, where I know it's early. We've only seen three open practices so far out of the eight, but I like what I see even with the safeties with Eric Burrell, Scott Nelson, Reggie Peterson, and then there's a Houston transfer, Colin Wilder. I liked how those four have played in a 2-deep, and we saw how many safeties Wisconsin needed to use last year with injuries to Nelson and Dakota Dixon. So I think the competition, and, you know, they all have bad days, it's all learning experiences, and we're only seeing, you know, we're only evaluating what we've seen, so we don't know what precisely the drills they're working on. But I think it's still going to be a strength, and they'll build off of it. I thought they did a decent job last year. Should you think carry over and continue to develop and progress to be a strength of the defense coming up in 2019?
Real quick, also, before I let you go, so we've talked a lot about, obviously, the quarterbacking and such, but it all starts up front. Give me the offensive line lowdown and what you got going on there, what you're thinking.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned it earlier with Biadasz. He's 99% sure going to be the starting center. He returns for his redshirt junior year. He's out. So is Cole Van Lennon, who we're projecting obviously going to be the left tackle, the starting left tackle. But it's also, I think we have a lot of opportunities for younger guys. David Mormon is actually an older guy, but is a redshirt senior. But this is an opportunity for him. He's been working at first team left tackle. And then Caden Lyles, who selflessly went over to the defensive line last year when he needed some help with depth. He started some games on the D-line. He's back. You know, the former four-star offensive lineman is now, you know, we've been working at center. We saw a little bit of him at left guard on Tuesday. And then Jason Erdman is now back working on the team drills at, you know, left guard, center. And then on the right side of the line, Logan Bruss, who worked with David Edwards, took over for David Edwards the last three games of the year, right tackle. He slid in at right guard to get some reps there. And you see Tyler Beach, the grafting native Port Washington product, really, you know, kind of get, you know, slot in at right tackle. So this is an opportunity for them to really gain some valuable reps, continue their development, you know, little by little, you know, build their foundation up. So it's a little bit of a new look line, but, you know, with the injuries to two main players, but this is their time to step up and show the, you know, Joe Rudolph and others what they can do.
Great stuff. As always, Jake, we appreciate you joining us for a couple of minutes. They can read your stuff at Bucky's Fifth Quarter as well. They can also find you over there on Twitter, which is an easy one, Coco, Jake Kokorowski, Jake Coco B5Q, correct? Or
you
BS?
Betcha.
Or that's B5Q. That's what I thought. Okay, good stuff. I just want to make sure I got it right, man. I'm sitting here reading, and I just, because your name isn't the easiest to spell. When you just go with Coco, you're good to go.
I appreciate that. No BS, I promise you,
Bill. All right, buddy. Talk to you soon. There you go. Jake Kokorowski joining us for a couple of minutes. And by the way, it's Jake KOCOB5Q. Jake KOCOB5Q on Twitter. Jake Kokorowski over there on Twitter. He joined us on the Schneider Oilers Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, they've been getting it done. Call them, 844-PRIDE. Go to schneiderjobs.com. Hey, I've been telling you for a while about our friends over at the Wisconsin Biofuels Association. And all the corn growers, the farmers here in the state of Wisconsin, and how, and I was there today. I was over at the Quick Trip here in Hales Corners, and I was standing outside my car. I was filling up, and a guy came walking over, and he kind of looks, you know, and he says, "Up, oh, you do use it." I was using the unleaded 88, and I said, "Yes, I do." They didn't have the E85 there, so I grabbed the unleaded 88, and he said, "You do use it." He said, "What's the difference?" And I said, "Well, first of all, it's a dime cheaper per gallon. That's the first thing. When you got a car that's got a 24-gallon tank you need to fill up, yeah, a couple bucks makes a difference, all right? Put that back in your pocket. Secondly, I don't notice a difference. Burns the same, but it's cleaner. It's, you know, better for the environment, and also the money that you're putting into it goes to the Wisconsin Biofuels Association plants here in the state of Wisconsin, goes to the Corn Growers Association here in the state of Wisconsin. So it's supporting farmers, supporting Wisconsinites, people that work here, live here, play here, die here, all that kind of stuff. They pay taxes here. They spend money when they go out, just like you and I, so might as well go ahead and support it, right? That's what I did. Hopefully you do as well. And if you want the facts, anything over 2001, by the way, with your vehicle year, you can go ahead and use the unleaded 88. You can find it at Quick Trip and at many jet stations all throughout the state of Wisconsin. But go find the facts out, wibiofuels.org. That is wibiofuels.org. By the time we kind of BS'd a little bit, he walked away. He was like, okay. And he went over. He had a van. And I'm not going to give the name of the company, but it was a landscaping company. And he was filling up the van with the unleaded 88. So good stuff. Appreciate it. Going to go ahead and take a quick break. We're going to come back. And when we do, who's the 25th? We'll talk about that next in the Bill Michaels Show.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We'll be right back.
Phil Michaels Show continues on. We are glad you're on board today. This portion of the program brought to you by Cousin Subs, where they believe in better. Hey, they are teaming up right now with Summerfest. Warmer weather, it's going to be around the corner. And if you would like to get a ticket to go to Summerfest, a daily ticket, which is a weekday ticket, all you have to do is go to CousinSubs.com. You need some grub, right? You want to grub down. Everybody does. And you want good grub, not crappy grub. Or stuff that looks like a big overstuffed pillow with a bunch of lettuce hanging out of it. Go to Cousin Subs. Go online. The only way to get these things are ordering online. Not in store, but online. Go online to CousinSubs.com. That's CousinSubs.com. Place your order, $15 or more. And it's good for one entry, one email address per day. Per day, you can do this. And you get yourself a free Summerfest ticket for a weekday entry into Summerfest. That's from our good friends over there at Cousin Subs, where they believe in better, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. The last 25. Last in, first out. As we sit here and look at this Milwaukee Brewers roster, if changes are to be made, what may or may not happen? Who's kind of hanging on right now? And, you know, we went through this last week and talked about Jake Petrisca and got into that discussion a little bit. You know what? We were talking about this the other day, Joe, that Corbin Burns has not pitched well. He's got another opportunity out in L.A. coming up. His next outing is going to be tomorrow night against the Dodgers. What if he throws bad again or has two or three more bad starts with three options? Corbin Burns could be a guy that could be destined for the minors. I don't think so, at least not as of right now, but he could be a guy. But I still kind of stick with, you know, when you start looking at the ability to send guys down and who has options, Petrisca would be a guy that you could possibly say maybe he ends up heading downward before it's all said and done. Alex Claudio still has options left. Jacob Barnes, he's not going anywhere. He still has options left, but maybe it's Corbin Burns or Petrisca if I had to pick the first guy on the road, so to speak, unless there's an injury, of course.
Corbin Burns, even though it's been a little rocky, he is not anywhere close to being the 25th man. And, I mean, again, the Brewers decided to go with these younger guys, which means the leash on them is going to be very, very long here, no matter really what happens. So I'd like to think even after 10 starts, maybe we'll have a better idea of where Corbin Burns stands. And, you know, maybe it's not even sending him down to AAA to figure it out. Maybe they move him to the bullpen if they start getting desperate. We all know how Corbin Burns did out of the pen last year, late in the year for the Brewers. But for me, I'm going to go Jake Petrisca. I mean, they called him up. He gets one appearance against the Angels, and what does he do? He gives up a couple of runs. Mm-hmm. He couldn't even pitch a clean frame. So for me right now, Jake Petrisca would be the 25th man, and Jeremy Jeffress, as we know, is going to likely be the first guy to be called up from AAA, hopefully sometime next week. So I would like to think Jake Petrisca.
He's planning on it. He's got to throw better, but he's planning on it.
Yeah, he didn't pitch. Didn't pitch all that well the other night. And how did he do? I got to pull this up. How did he do? Because I think he pitched last night as well.
He told us he was pitching back-to-back. Somebody had tweeted me. I was watching the Brewers game, and somebody tweeted me that he didn't look good. Now, my assumption was they were talking about last night. So I didn't look last evening, to be honest with you. But
okay, so last night he pitched one inning, one hit, one run, and that was earned. It was a home run he gave up.
Gave up a long ball, so that was it.
No walks, no strikeouts, but he's given up a run in each of his three appearances. His first appearance, it was an inning and a third, two hits on two runs, both earned, with a home run. He also had a strikeout. In his second appearance, one inning, four hits, three runs, three earned, no walks and two strikeouts. And then, of course, last night with one inning, giving up a home run. So everything I'm understanding from Adam McKelvey, because Adam McKelvey's got also the scoop on this, it seems like regardless of how Jeffress is doing in AAA, they're still going to call him up. And I don't know how you feel about that, Bill, the fact that he's giving up runs.
If he's hitting 93, 94, 95 miles an hour, I don't have a problem with it. But if he's still throwing at 91 and not hitting his spots, you're not gonna live in the majors very long in that group. You know what I mean? So I don't look for him to, you know, he's got, I don't know what he threw last night. If anybody knows what he was hitting on the gun, let me know. Because I don't know. I wish I did. I wish I had it sitting right here in front of me, but I don't, unfortunately. So if you happen to know, give me a shout because I'd love to hear from you. But I don't know what he was hitting on the gun last night. That's to me, that's the biggest thing. It was as much as we can talk about whether or not he was throwing well. I want to know if he was throwing real well fast. If he was throwing 97, 96, 95, I'm good with that. If he wasn't, well, then it certainly becomes, you know, a little bit different. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Last night, Sherry and I ended up going to her mom's. By the way, so last night, you hear us all the time. We do the commercials for Pella Windows. Now, Pella Windows, you hear me in a lot of the markets, a lot of the smaller markets. I do a lot of stuff for a lot of the affiliates, and so Pella Windows is one of our sponsors. And Gina Dell is fantastic. But last night we went to Mitchell's Fish Market, Seafood Market, out there in Brookfield Square. We were on our way home, and when Sherry's mom had passed away, we're still kind of dealing with that. And so we were over at her mom's house, and it's just a hard day. So I just said, you know what, let's just go ahead and I'll get you something, get you some dinner. So I wanted to take her to dinner last night. So we went to Mitchell's on our way home out in Brookfield and stopped in. First of all, Chef Tom was fantastic. I mean, I love that place. Always have loved that place. Now I got a chance to meet some of the people in the backside of the restaurant. Chef Tom was great. Brady, the general manager, was great. I do not remember the name of our server and I feel bad. But Chef Tom comes out, and we're talking to him a little bit. He listens every day, so I know he's listening right now because he said when they're on their way in, they open that thing up about 2 o'clock to start getting things ready. So they're on their way. So anyway, long story short, he's like, you know, we were in the back talking, and some of the people were kind of, you know, chattering about that, you know, we were out in the dining hall, out in the dining area. And who else was there but Gina Della from Pella. Oh, my God, you know, you hear all the time on all the different commercials. And who has put a sliding door in my house, and it's absolutely fantastic. But we did a home show, a home improvement show, and talked about Pella, and my wife did. And so Sherry had never met Gina, jumps up, and you can hear him across the bar and stuff and saying hello to one another. And so anyway, we got pictures last night and all that stuff. If you follow me on Facebook, on the personal page, which is still public, I put up the pictures and stuff from last night, but I wanted to give a shout out to Brady and specifically Chef Tom because they're fantastic people. And if you ever go in there, make sure you ask for them and compliment them and tell them how great the food is because Mitchell's is a fantastic place and great to see Gina Della from Pella and everybody out there. So do we know anybody want to send me any information here on Jeremy Jeffress? What did he throw last night? No, I don't think this is from Stacy who said that I heard that he pitched okay, but I don't know what his velocity was. Last I heard, it was 91, 92. It still wasn't up to 96, 97. This is one from Frank. Frank said he hit 93, topped out at 93 last night. Still not where he normally is, which if that's the case, I'm feeling a little bit better about the situation. Wallace said, still not throwing the 95, 96 that we're used to out of JJ. We hope that he recovers soon and comes back and fortifies the bullpen. Clint says 91 to 90 miles an hour he was hearing. Still not where he's supposed to be. But if you got any other information, I don't know. I knew that I could see the box score, but I didn't know what he was actually hitting last night on the jugs gun. So we wanted to find out. 855-830-8648, 855-830-864. Oh, my buddy Gary says, love Mitchell's. Said, I'll stop in and say hi to Chef Tom. Love Mitchell. I love Mitchell's. We go there. It used to be our Monday night stop because I'd always go do the Monday night show up in Green Bay. And then on my way home, I'd always pick up dinner because Sherry's a carnivore. I'm not a big steak eater. Sherry is. We go steaks there all the time, grab the steaks because they're fantastic. And then I always grab that spicy shrimp and then off the home we go. It's an awesome place. Love it. Let's do this. When we come back, in case you missed it, Bill Huber from thepackerreport.com, we had a chance to catch up with him. And we talked a little bit about what's going on behind the walls of 1265. And he's been there up close and personal. We'll get his perspective regarding all of this. Coming up next to the Bill Michaels Show.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Michael Show, we continue on. This portion of the program being brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network, as we continue on towards hopefully warmer weather in summer at some point. Wednesday Night Live is back. Last Wednesday in May is when it gets underway. May 29th, Rebel Grace will take the stage, and that kicks off the summer concert series of Wednesday Night Live at the Wisconsin State Fair Park in the Budweiser Pavilion, free of charge. I think it's $5 or $6 to park your car, free for motorcycles. And all the music, all the summer, all the fun, all brought to you by the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. That is Bud Light, and can't say thanks enough to them. Bill Huber from PackerReport.com joined us a little bit earlier today, and he's been up there pretty consistently covering the Green Bay Packers. And, you know, all of this stuff happened with, you know, Rob Domofsky's report regarding Mike McCarthy, and then Tyler Dunn and the Bleacher Report, and now you've got some offseason workouts taking place because you've got a new head coach in Matt LaFleur, so you get the extra session to get guys kind of up to speed and philosophy-wise to get them all on the same page. So we started out just talking to Bill earlier today saying, you know, to the reaction to everything that's going on up there, just how he sees it.
It's business as usual. I don't think anybody cares about any of their stuff. I don't think Matt LaFleur cares. Beppe asked him that at the scouting combine if he cared about what happened between Rodgers and McCarthy, and he said he didn't, and I actually take him at face value on that. The past is irrelevant, right? I mean, if Rodgers and McCarthy didn't get along, what difference does it make to Matt LaFleur? The only thing that matters to LaFleur is whether Matt LaFleur and Rodgers get along. So that's LaFleur's focus, is building that relationship with the quarterback, and as he put it, creating a partnership with him. So in all this other Rodgers stuff with the Bleacher Report article, I think Davante Adams said it best yesterday. Nobody called him. Nobody called Jordy Nelson. Nobody called Randall Cobb. As Rodgers and Adams both said, it's bitter former players. So I don't think any of this stuff matters to anybody up there. Great for us to talk about, but I don't think they care.
Do you think that this, though, puts a small, if you will, a chip on the shoulder of Aaron Rodgers? Because we know he uses anything to drive him. Do you think this in any way, shape, or form begins to drive him a little bit?
Yes. Rodgers was asked that yesterday, and he definitely changed the subject. Davante Adams, though, said exactly what you said. He thinks this is going to fuel him. He said Adams said it was going to fuel himself, too. Look, this is one of the great quarterbacks of all time who's had two poor seasons. You know, A, with the collarbone and the knee, it's certainly not helping things, but he's just a guy who's got a lot of pride. He hears everything, and his career has gone the wrong direction. I don't think there's any denying it. I think here's a guy who's always cared about his legacy, as in the legacy of a lot of quarterbacks have won one Super Bowl. Not many have won 2 and 3 and 4, and he wants to be in that conversation, and he knows as well as anyone that time is running out, and Matt LaFleur is his best chance of getting there because Matt LaFleur is the coach right now.
It's hard for me to gauge with the wide receivers from last year. I mean, we had, you know, Marquez Valdez-Scantling and Equanimeous St. Brown, guys on our program. You know, they said, look, it's just difficult to get on the same page with Aaron because he's got so many things. Is this year the year? Because he really, other than Davante Adams and Geronimo Allison, you don't have a lot of veterans floating around right now. Is this the year that Aaron's probably back to the basics, so to speak, and getting on the same page with his guys if they're going to have a successful offense?
Yeah, you know, it's probably the schematic change here. You know, it's interesting you point that out, though. Adams has almost as many receptions last year as everybody else does combined. It's remarkable just how one side of this group is. But, you know, with McCarthy's offense, it was an adjustment-based offense where you go run the route, and if you saw this, you adjusted to that, and it all kind of happened on the fly. And that's a lot for a rookie to handle, which is why Rodgers has said for years there's a playbook on paper, and there's a playbook that we actually run on the field. And it wasn't Rodgers going rogue. It was the reality of the situation of, they adjust and take what's there. Those rookies had a hard time adjusting, for sure. Honestly, I couldn't tell you about LaFleur's offense in that regard. If it's a lot of that same stuff where the quarterback and receivers kind of ad-lib it on the fly or not, I honestly don't know. But I think for Jamon Moore especially, who readily admitted to us after the season that he was behind in the playbook and had not earned the quarterback's trust because of it, I think it's really big for him because here's a guy who didn't get it his rookie year. Now he's got to do a whole new playbook this year, too. So I think, especially for him, this is a really big offseason.
Yeah, I look at Jamon Moore as a guy that needs to kind of prove himself. But how comfortable are you with the wide receiving core?
Not at all. I don't think there's any reason to be. You saw enough out of Belda, Scantling, and St. Brown, and you know, even Allison when he was healthy. He was on pace for 1,100 yards through the first quarter, but none of these guys, other than obviously 17, has done it over the long haul. They don't have a slot receiver. I suppose you could stick Adams in there, and they ran some Belda, Scantling, and St. Brown, but they don't have a accomplished slot guy. I mean, are St. Brown and Belda Scantling, are they going to take that next step and become legit players, or are they only going to be role players throughout their career? I don't know. So I'm telling you, after the last four drafts of being defense, 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 I would just draft a whole bunch of offense and reload that side of the ball if I was running the show.
How defensively speaking, and because we all can speculate as to what they're going to do in the draft, but with the return of Cole Madison, they needed depth on the offensive line. Obviously, picking up Billy Turner, that was big. And now you get Cole Madison back. Do they suddenly go from an area of concern to an area of strength? Or do you think one, maybe two other offensive linemen are still going to come into the system?
Yeah, I think they got to get one pretty early here. You know, Belaga's injury history is well known, and he's entering his last year in the contract. You got to get that squared away. You know, maybe that's Billy Turner who they signed. He's played some tackle and some guard, but you would think just by their history here that they would draft a tackle fairly early. And you know what? Maybe that tackle plays guard his first year. Maybe they think that whoever they draft, you play right guard this year, Belaga's your right tackle. And then in 2020, you move him back out to tackle. That might be the way to go here. But I can't imagine how you would say it's a strength, though, at this point. Because, again, what has Billy Turner done in his career? What has Cole Madison done? I mean, he hasn't played. Is that hunger still there? There's a lot of questions, for sure.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's a lot of questions regarding Cole Madison. There's no doubt about it. Have you had a chance to talk to him?
No, I was hoping he'd be available yesterday, but they just had the big guys. So we got the mandatory minicamp just before the draft. I assume he'll be available then, and it'll be really interesting to hear his story. And there's been a lot of speculation, a lot of reason speculation of why he sat out last year. It'll be interesting to see where he's at.
Looking forward towards the new head coach with Matt LaFleur, you know, some people are impressed with the way he speaks, others aren't. To me, it's only matters what goes on behind closed doors.
Right.
So what has the reaction been for the new head coach?
They seem to like him. Again, what do you expect the guys to say, right?
Right.
I will say that Rodgers talked to Matt Ryan before and after the hiring, and he said he's come across as advertised. And I, speaking to a guy down in Atlanta who I know who's with that team, said Matt Ryan respected the heck out of LaFleur. So, and Rodgers likes Ryan, so I think that gets the coach off to a good start there. Devontae Adams said a lot of good things about him yesterday, too. You're right. What you saw in that opening press conference where he was obviously nervous, that doesn't matter one bit. And if he's a little bit nervous talking to the team, I don't think it's a big deal either. I think it's probably the expectation when you're a 39-year-old guy coaching a team for the first time. That might be a little bit jitters. Like, I don't know if there was this week, but even if there was, I don't think it's a big deal either. I think it'll be a work in progress, and you know, at this point, he's just got to show that his scheme's going to work, and if players feel good about what they put in the field here in April, May, and June, I think everything's going to be fine.
Talking with Bill Huber of the PackerReport.com. Go to PackerReport.com and read all the stuff there. Now, defensively speaking, they keep Mike Pettine, which to me, it's twofold. It's a guy that's already been a head coach. He knows what it takes to go through the grind, which I think was a good keep. In addition to that, some way, shape, or form, he figured out with baling wire, a little bit of spit, and maybe an egg to be able to figure this defense out to at least make them semi-formidable last year with all the injuries and the departures that they had. How much better do you expect this second year defensive coordinator to be with some of the new faces, some of the offseason acquisitions, and then obviously with an incoming group of defensive-minded guys?
Yeah, for sure. You know, Blake Martinez said it yesterday that, you know, they're going through installs, and Martinez knows all this stuff. He said he knows more, and this is obviously logically speaking, but he's so much further ahead now than he was in September of October last year when they were kind of learning it on the fly. And, you know, and Patton said it throughout last year, too, where you know, it was trial and error for him, too. He's got to see what those guys can handle. He's got to see what they like. Of course, there's a revolving door of personnel at safety and stuff, too, which didn't help anything. But I think Pettine knows his players, and the players know Pettine. And you're right, it was a pretty decent outfit last year, all things considered, considering they had no stability inside linebacker alongside Martinez, you know, the whole defensive back changes. I mean, they were signing safeties off the street who were playing the next week. They should be a lot further ahead for sure.
Real quick before I let you go, so all of this that we've discussed, both offensive and defense, is important, but last year their special team sucked. So that's one thing we don't even talk about, you know. It was just bad. I mean, even with the misses that Mason Crosby had, they stick with Mason Crosby, and I would assume there might be some competition coming in camp. But, you know, how much if they get the depth they need, the natural progression is this team then suddenly gets better on the special teams. But the biggest need for them special teams wise to me still kick returner, punt returner, right?
Yeah, you know, this is, you know, say what you want about Ron Zook, but he had a great point that he used a couple times last year with us and in previous years. If you have a returner who is really good and the other 10 guys know it, they tend to block longer. They tend to block harder, and they tend to block longer because they've got the belief that if they do their job, that guy's going to pop one. Trevor Davis showed some of that. I mean, he was really good in 2017. A, he was productive, and B, he didn't fumble. Is he the answer? Who knows? But you're right, they've got to get that squared away. You're just giving away field position left and right. And, you know, long snapper's an issue. I asked Goody at the combine, do you feel like you need to get a kicker? And he said, I thought it was really interesting. He said he wouldn't turn one down.
Yeah.
So I think really all those spots are up for grabs at this point.
There you go. That's Bill Huber from PackerReport.com. He joined us a little bit earlier today on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. Got some questions about a program upcoming, and I don't know, but I'll tell you what I'm talking about and give you a Masters update as we close things out next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Bill Michaels Show continues on, and we have got some Masters update. The temperature continues to increase. The winds continue to die. And it looks to be, although it is more overcast than it is bright sunshine, as the clouds have moved in down there at Augusta, Augusta National Golf Club. By the way, this year it is playing 7,475 yards. 7,475 yards this tournament. In the clubhouse, Justin Harding right now, 3 under par. He is done for the day. Corey Connors at 2 under, tied with J.B. Holmes. And Lucas Bjerregaard, they are all in the clubhouse at 2 under. Tony Finau, who remember last year that he broke his ankle, Joe, or dislocated his ankle and then kept playing? On the par 3 challenge day, he got jumping up and down because he had the hole-in-one and then snapped his ankle, put it back in place, and kept playing. Most remarkable thing I've ever witnessed and most painful thing I've ever witnessed, I think, in a long, long time. But Luis Oosthuizen, 2 under. He's through 14. Gary Woodland, John Rahm at 2 under through 12. Meanwhile, you look for the guy Tiger Woods, still at 1 under through 12. He is a couple of shots off the pace, and that's not bad for Tiger. Just 2 shots out right now. They just got off the tee box a little while ago. And the group that... Oh, by the way, I'm going back down to the bottom here because everybody in the field is now off the tee. So you go to the bottom where normally the guys waiting to tee off are sitting. So I go to the bottom. Angel Cabrera. Poor Angel Cabrera. 10 over for the day. Shot an 82. Shot an 82 today. Sergio Garcia, who won this thing a couple of years ago, he's 1 over for the day. Jason Day, he's through 4. He is even. Bubba Watson, even through 5. Just some of the guys that are still out on the golf course. Brooks Koepka, 1 under after 3. Phil Mickelson, the same. Justin Thomas, 1 under after 3 holes today. Bryson DeChambeau. With Patrick Cantlay and Dustin Johnson, also all 1 under, but they're after 4. Matt Kuchar, 1 under after 6. Ricky Fowler, 1 under after 12. Right there hanging with Tiger Woods in that group. So that is your Masters update for the day. There you go. We'll continue with the updates coming up tomorrow on the program. Hey, got a few people that have been asking, when is the next Milwaukee Basketball Hour? I got a feeling it's going to be Monday or Tuesday for sure. I just don't know which as of yet, but we will let you know. It's going to be at Rare, which is a new steakhouse downtown Milwaukee. We'll be down there for the remainder of the postseason. So start paying attention to it. Go on social media to MKE B-Ball Hour. MKE B-Ball Hour, and you're going to be able to find it on Twitter, Instagram, over on Facebook as well. And they'll be posting there and giving you the updates as to when and where. But where is going to be the place called Rare. So I wanted to make sure we got that out there. Also, hey, I told you I couldn't remember the name of our server last night. I told you that Chef Tom is listening. So I got to say hi to Susan because she was absolutely positively fantastic. I don't really shout out servers and stuff very often who, you know, because I go to so many different places. But Susan was fantastic. You don't get service like that very often. And great people out there at the Mitchell's Seafood, Mitchell's Seafood out there in Brookfield Square. Love that place. So thanks to Chef Tom and Brady, the GM, and Susan. And then we saw Gina Della from Pella out there last night and had a good hoot nanny, I guess, in the bar is what you want to call it. So that being said, tomorrow on the program, I'm going to get you ready for a big Wisconsin sports weekend. Game one, Bucks, Pistons, Brewers Nation going to be coming out, hoping that the Brewers can get back on the winning track because they face the Dodgers. So we're going to have a lot going on there. We're going to talk with Paul Imig, our Green Gold analyst, Dodgers broadcaster Tim Neverett is going to be here tomorrow afternoon. Mike Clemens will be here tomorrow afternoon. And who knows, we may have a few more guests that just show up. But it is a big Bucks weekend coming up. We're going to be a lot of Bucks chatter tomorrow. And the Masters. We'll give you updates there as well. Until then, time for us to go. Have a good one. Talk to you. See you. Bye.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.